Ready.
Just in the middle of the field, 45, 50. Green grass in front of him, leaving Lions in his wake.
I am Jeff Joniak.
Blitz is on. Down he goes. Husker.
What was it like playing for Coach Ditka?
I don't want to answer any questions like that.
61 yards. A Sunday stroll for Justin Fields.
No way.
Now, Bears Etc. brought to you by Miller Lite with the voices of the Bears, Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer.
Wheeling and dealing in a crazy week over the NFL landscape, which includes right here in the great Midwest, where your Chicago Bears filled some key spots on both sides of the ball and locked up four-year starting cornerback Jalen Johnson on a long-term deal as we get you set for the 2024 season. Welcome into the Bears Etc. podcast. So much to discuss in episode 59, and we begin with Super Bowl-winning Bears guard Tom Thayer. I'm Jeff Joniak. Coming up, my one-on-one interview with newly minted Jalen Johnson. And then Tom and I break down the deals that General Manager Ryan Pohl secured for the 2024 Chicago Bears. They now are official, pending the passage of physicals, of course. But we're wide open, Tom. And I've always referred to Ryan Pohl in the way that I've gotten to know him each week of the last two seasons, the quiet storm. He exudes so much confidence, calmness, but inside that motor runs hot. And he continues with a very measured approach to free agency, Tom, as promised when he was hired.
I've been impressed with Ryan since he's been here, and I hope with the signing of these guys, I'm continued to be so.
This episode of Bears Etc. brought to you by Miller Lite. So he really strikes, in my opinion, Tom, when he feels the need to adjust the roster and get ahead of the pack, so to speak. So you think about last year, who was the first free agent to sign in the National Football League? It was TJ Edwards at linebacker. So he did a deal that this year linebackers are getting a similar deal. No question about it. In this free agent period, the first running back in what has been a robust running back market, the first running back to get off the board was DeAndre Swift. So he focuses and he strikes, and it's not about anything other than fit, a deal similar to last year's deals of James Conner and also to Miles Sanders in 2022 when he left Philadelphia.
Yeah, and he fits the system that Shane Waldron's going to run. And I think that's the key ingredient here. When you have a chance and you make an early hire of Shane Waldron, you have a chance to have conversation of what he specifically is looking for out of certain positions. And when you go out there and you look at 5'9", 215-pound DeAndre Swift in some of the things he's done in the NFL so far, I think he's a really perfect fit to complement the other pieces that they have in place already.
Explosive, first thing I think of is speed. A terrific pass receiver in his career. He's had a lot of targets in the passing game. And that is something that personally I was hoping for, a player that can both run the ball in this outside zone but also be a threat in the passing game. And Khalil Herbert is also that. And Roschon Johnson is also that. I mean, you really do right now have a complete backfield. Then you throw in Travis Homer, who's in the backfield, but he's a special teams ace. He's still under contract. And, of course, Blassing Game is your fullback, still under contract.
You know, the thing about the passing game that involves a running back, you'd like to see some downfield spark plays. And you look at DeAndre Swift, he's got four catches of 20 yards or more. He's got eight receiving touchdowns. And the thing about the Bears, since 1970, they've only had four running backs that have eight receiving touchdowns. And that's Walter Neal, Anderson, Matt Forte, and Tariq Cohen. Hmm. So when you talk about what DeAndre Swift can contribute to the passing offense, not only on third down, but first and second down, Jeff, it would possibly see the splash plays that we want to see out of the running back position.
All right, now tight end. This is a position that the Bears definitely have tried in terms of backups, number twos and number threes behind Cole Kmet. Gerald Everett comes aboard. He's going to turn 30 in June, but the experience with the coordinator, Shane Waldron, he's been with him for 5 years, and that included a stop in L.A. with the Rams, where he was there for 4 years, and then with Seattle before he went over to the L.A. Chargers, but a two-year, $12 million deal. There's a lot to like about this particular athlete because of his athleticism and speed, even at his age now. He's had some really good, successful runs, but knowing that offense and what, you know, all these years under Cole Kmet, I believe the math is 29 catches by the tight ends behind him total in those 3 years. Right. So this is something you've been asking for as well, a player similar in style to Cole Kmet.
Yeah, when you look at two tight end formations, it's not going to be an obvious and a guessing game. You're going to see two tight ends that are quality pass catchers, and I think you can balance the offense. But to me, I like tight ends with the basketball background. And when you look at Everett in his high school years, he didn't play football till his senior year. But the thing that impressed me most is he made the all-conference team as a football player when he got into college. So that learning curve was quick. And so you develop that footwork, you develop that body control, you develop the understanding of using your body as a shield, and then all of a sudden you take that and bring it onto the football field and have the success that he's had. I'm excited about that, and I think that it was a position that needed to be complement in a template similar to Cole.
And in addition to Waldron knowing him, Chris Beatty, the Bears' new wide receivers coach, certainly was in L.A. with the Chargers over the last couple of years, overlapping with him. So there is knowledge there, but a dynamic threat in the passing game and certainly run after the catch as well. Also, the addition, we touched on Ryan Bates, obviously, last week. That was a move the Bears made on the interior. And then Matt Pryor on a one-year deal coming out of the 49ers organization. Entered the league in 18 out of Philadelphia with the Eagles out of TCU, really the only school that really was interested in him. He was a late qualifier coming out of college, but a huge guy, Tom. 6'6 and three quarters, 332. He's played a lot of guard, so you automatically think he's just a tackle, but he's played a lot of guard. He had chances to start with the Colts. Matt Eberflus was there during that 21 season, so he has familiarity with him as well. Didn't start playing football until his freshman year in high school, so a lot of experience under his belt already as a seventh-year player out of Long Beach, California.
Jeff, so if you have an opportunity, go back and look at the San Francisco-Dallas game, because both offensive guards got hurt for San Francisco. Pryor went into that game as an offensive guard, left guard, and was mauling people. And so when you say, yeah, you know, he's got that inviting size of an offensive tackle. However, if you want to increase the overall size of your offensive guard position, the power on the inside, the length of whatever side you put him at, you're talking about putting a massive human being in there that went and played against a Dallas defensive line that's pretty darn good and absolutely mauled him.
We still don't know what the quarterback carousel is going to produce for the Bears with that number one pick. Justin Fields still QB1 here until further notice, and the addition, inclusion of Tyson Bagent in there, of course, but now the introduction of someone else familiar with Shane Waldron with a one-year deal for veteran Brett Rypien. He's 27, a five-year vet, undrafted out of Boise State in 19 by Denver, where he played for 4 years. He was on the Jets practice squad last year. He's been with Seattle, the Rams as well. 6'2", 202, just 4 starts in his career. He is the nephew of the Super Bowl MVP quarterback Mark Rypien during the Washington Redskins/now Commanders era, Super Bowl 26. So another familiar face for Shane Waldron to install whatever offense he's going to install here for the Bears.
Yeah, you know, Rypien's got bloodlines, and he's been playing the quarterback position his whole career. He's had a lot of opportunities to learn and develop in different systems, different offensive coordinators. And I think when you are as committed to the game, you know, he's had 10, like you said, 10 appearances and 4 starts. But he still has a positive frame of mind about figuring out what his niche is. Is it that third quarterback? Tyson Bagent is not going to be a pushover, man, because I think Tyson Bagent is on his way to having a career in the NFL, and we'll see how things work out. But when you talk about OTAs and you talk about training camp and you talk about so many things that the quarterbacks need to do during the course of practice, you have to have multiple quarterbacks here to increase the competition.
Played a lot of college football. So in addition to those bloodlines, 49 games at Boise State, where he was 37-12, 90 touchdowns, 29 picks, the Mountain West all-time leader in passing yards, among other statistics. Tastes like Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. So that's on the offensive side of the ball so far. Let's go over to the defensive side of the ball. And something struck me real quick. In addition to Everett, the tight end, he came out of South Alabama. You've got two players out of smaller schools. Kevin Byard was not even invited to the scouting combine. Coming out of Middle Tennessee State. Yeah, Tennessee thought enough of him to pick him in the third round back in 2016, and he had been nothing but special in terms of what he did for the Tennessee Titans. A leader, a ball hawk, and a guy who did a ton of great things for this Tennessee team, was traded at the deadline last year to Philadelphia. They used him more of a strong safety. He is a free safety by nature, but it really, the fit wasn't great. Eagles deployed him in a different way. I think this would be a perfect fit for him, filling in that Eddie Jackson role on the back end. He's been an outstanding tackler. Pro Football Focus said he missed only 4.7% of his tackles, and over the course of his career has been steady in that regard. And so you got to have a guy who's going to line people up. Want a ball hawk back there? Can he get off the hash and make plays with his feet? Yes. But he also has to make tackles, and he can make tackles.
I think he's got 28 career interceptions, yep, maybe, but he's a player. He's an on-the-field guy. When you go back and you look at the success he had in college and why was he recognized as an NFL player, because he was a player. He was on the field. He's got a lot of examples of playing time. In the same thing in the pro game. He has been on the field type of guy, and I really like that type of mentality, that type of character and attitude, because you get these guys that sometimes they want to be on the sideline holding the helmet. Then you get these guys that are committed to being on the field all times. And so when you look at a player like this at the safety position, it's such an important role because it organizes the entire defensive backfield and get him in place early so he develops those communication skills with a couple of young defensive backs and an experienced guy like Jalen.
To Tom's point, he hasn't missed a game in 8 years. That's
right.
Our kind
That's
of player. That's right. Our kind of player. And, Ryan, again, much like the DeAndre Swift, this is super targeted because the safety class of veterans bloated here in free agency. Upwards of 20, 25 players that you could say, this group is significant in terms of volume. But 30 starts the last 2 years for another safety that's coming aboard by way of another smaller school. Jonathan Owens out of Missouri Western was an undrafted player by the Arizona Cardinals back in 2018. He has really come on strong these last 2 years, not only for the Houston Texans, but also the Green Bay Packers, where he played 70% of his snaps last year on defense for that unit, setting career high in special team snaps by a big margin. He had never even hit 100 special team snaps. He played 233 special team snaps last year. So this is a 28-year-old player, 5'10 and 3/4", 210, Tommy. And now the Bears have two veterans in that safety room to help out Jaquan Brisker.
Yeah, and Coach Hightower is always looking for that guy who's going to be one of the captains of the special teams, who's going to be a core guy that takes part in every team in the fourth phase. And Owens is that type of guy, but he's got experience at the center position. He saw good, time in the practice field up at Green Bay and Houston. So I'm excited to have him aboard. At 28 years old, he's still a young guy and has a lot of career left. But when you look at Jaquan Brisker and you look at Byard, you look at the other defensive backs they have here, that core group of guys that we saw last year develop in training camp, I think they're going to play an equally as important role in the success of the defense this year.
And Tom, you're certainly familiar who the man is married to, don't you? Jonathan Owens?
Third most popular women in the NFL. Virginia right. McCaskey, number one. Taylor Swift, number two. Simone Biles, number three.
I love that. Simone Biles will be trying to win more gold in Paris this summer for the U.S., and she on X has been tweeting her love of the city of Chicago. She's very excited about joining her husband. They just got married last April, and she no doubt will be a popular figure at Soldier Field over the course of the fall and winter as the season progresses. All right, let's take another look at that secondary that Tom referred to. We're brought to you by PNC, official bank of the Bears, because Jalen Johnson, a cornerstone piece for Ryan Poles and that defense for Matt Eberflus, locking in on a 4-year, $76 million deal. I had a chance to sit down with him at his news conference afterwards at Hallis Hall on Monday. Here's that conversation.
First of all, congratulations.
Appreciate it.
And, we'll get to the nitty-gritty in a minute, but mm-hmm. How does it feel, man?
Feels good. Definitely a sigh of relief. Just having an opportunity to just, I feel like, not only set my family up, but set my kids up. And honestly, just set my career up. I feel like just having the contract that I have, I feel like it's very front-loaded. I can make my money and then get back to the table as quick as possible. And that's the goal. So, I'm definitely happy and pleased with the structure, pleased with the opportunity to be back in the city.
That seriously is how Ryan Poles has kind of structured all the internal deals. Mm-hmm. Get another crack at it later, but no, it's funny, you know, players come into the league, they get their first contract, and you know that second one's going to be juicy, and here's you already thinking about the third one.
Yeah, no doubt.
Isn't that crazy?
Sure. Yeah.
But that's the way the league is now, isn't it?
Yeah, I think for me, it's one of those things, like the rookie contract, that was what you did based on what you did in college, and it's like the second contract based on what you did on your rookie contract, and now the third contract is going to be what I do in these next 3 years, so definitely looking forward to that.
Well, a long time between then
and now,
and now. And, you know, you've been talking really almost 2 years about the potential to get this deal. Did you ever grow weary, because you were asked about it a lot, and you were willing to discuss it. Some players, I'm not going to talk about it, but you were open to talking about it with the media over time. It's not like you talked it into existence. You played it into existence, but were you kind of weary of just talking about it?
No, I mean, I feel like the facts is the facts of it. The situation, it is what it is. And I think for me, it was one of those things where it's like I didn't want to shy away from it. Like, I mean, it is what it is at the end of the day. And I think, too, there was a way that to tell a story without, I feel like, giving too much detail and still keeping a professional. So I feel like for me, it was always something that I was open to talk about. And I think people should know the truth. I feel like for me, I didn't want things to be left unspoken. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just going up there and being able to tell my part, like I said, and still being able to keep a professional was something that I've always wanted to do.
From the moment you were drafted, I remember you were working out the day after your draft. Like, you went right to the gym, right?
No doubt.
That work has seriously paid off over the course. You worked really hard at this in the off season, in season, to make and fine-tune who you are as a corner and as a football player and as a man. When you reflect back on those moments, that excitement of getting into the league and then proving who you are and what you're all about and where you're going, can you conceptualize that, put it in context for me?
I mean, I think it's tough. It's tough. I think for me, it's just being built on the right things, just building around the right foundation. I feel like even like my brother, like I said about my brother, like he's somebody that's always put a lot into me. He's always shown me and led by example, like what hard work looks like. So it's like no matter what's going on, there's always work to be done. And it's like even coming in here this morning, talk about the contract, it's like, all right, now we know what we got to do in these next 3 years, like how we going to train, what we got to do, the things that we got to accomplish on the field. So I feel like just staying true to that, just staying true to the work ethic, staying true to who I am and just continue to get better. And I feel like that's what all this is about, is just continue to be committed to growth. And I think that's what gets you more deals and deals and deals, is just your growth, what you do, of course, on the football field, how you build the locker room, how you build as a leader. I think it's just about complete growth from top to bottom.
You know, when you look at how you have grown, where's been the biggest growth?
Oh, definitely spiritually inside. Just continuing to, I think, humble myself, just continue to, I feel like, truly be at God's feet and submit to Him. Because I feel like when you operate in a sense of pride, that's when you kind of block your blessings. That's when you don't let His light shine. I think for me, just acknowledging Him and where I'm at and everything, whether it's high, whether it's low, and just continuing to let Him guide me, let Him lead me, because I know I've made some bad decisions when trying to operate on my own, but just continue to look to Him and things that I do, just continue to ask Him for peace, ask Him for discernment, just be able to make the right decisions.
So that maturity, spiritually, emotionally, professionally, how does that translate to the locker room? How does that translate to Sundays for Jalen Johnson?
I mean, it's all one and the same. I feel like there's a certain process I feel like I go through. I feel like when I'm best spiritually, when I'm best in my inner man, I feel like there's nothing that I can't do physically. Because, I mean, I feel like for me, like I tell people, it's the hardest thing is to go home, look yourself in the mirror, and to critique yourself, is to be vulnerable, is to go out there and not even go out there, but just to be who you are and continue to look at yourself and just continue to want to grow. I think that's the hardest part, is doing that work on your inner self and the work that nobody really sees. And then going out there on Sundays, it's like, that's the easy part. I mean, I played football and done it at a high level. I feel like since I was in third grade, 8 years old, playing Pop Warner football, I've always been one of those guys that was always different. When it's like, okay, like, nah, he's going to be somebody. So I feel like for me, that part, I've been blessed with that. And I think for me, it's just being able to win the mental warfare and go out there on Sundays and just play free. Like, nah, this is what I've always done. And it's like, I put in, me and my brother always talking about like 10,000 hours. Like, we put in thousands and thousands of hours working out, training. So I was like, my body's gonna do what it needs to do as far as the football side of it goes.
So with that being said, I said this on the radio, I think last week. I go, this is Jalen Johnson's secondary right now. Meaning, no doubt. Out of respect of your experience, the way you're viewed league-wide, you're a number one corner. You're one of the top corners in the National Football League. I know you feel you're the best corner in the National Football League. And that guidance now of helping what is, man, a great young secondary. Right. These guys are hungry and feisty. They see you get paid. They're next, potentially, guys on that secondary. Are you gonna look at your approach to the locker room and to that unit differently now that, hey, you got that deal that says a lot about what you're all about as a player, and now how can I reinvest in this young group to make us the best secondary in the NFL?
Honestly, I'm gonna say yes or no. I think I'd be wrong if I changed my approach in leadership because of a contract. So I feel like for me, I've always been that leader. I feel like because I didn't have a contract, because of things were up in the air, people kind of assumed that I wasn't being a leader because I wasn't getting in the middle of the circle and breaking it down and telling guys. It's like, that's not.
You don't do that?
Yeah, no, not too much of that. That's not too. Because to me, it's like, that's
you
just.
You have wisdom. You should do this.
Yeah, no, that's not. I don't do that too much. Like, I leave that up to certain people. I feel like that's up to certain people to do, but I feel like guys that know me know how much I care, how much I talk to guys about building themselves up, how much I check in with guys, how much I try to lead guys in life. Because, I mean, everything's just not about football and X's and O's, but it's like if I can build closer with my guys, my peers, the people around me, and people know that I have a genuine loving heart, I think I can get guys to push themselves on the football side of it. And when I do speak up in a certain way, or if I do get on somebody, hold somebody accountable, they know where my heart is. So I feel like for me, I wouldn't say I do a different type of leadership, but it's like, nah, I just am who I am. Yeah, I just am who I am. I go about things the right way. I show everybody love and respect. And when I do speak, it makes sense. Guys understand what I'm saying. Guys listen to what I'm saying. And a lot of times I ask the question that people don't want to ask. So it's like there's a form of leadership in that, because a lot of times people only want to ask certain questions or don't want to be looked at a certain way. But it's like, nah, I don't mind. I'll ask the tough questions. I'll get up in front of the team or the coach or whatever and speak my mind and say how I feel. And people are, oh, yeah, Jen, like, we needed that. Or I thought the same thing. So it's like, I don't think my leadership style is going to change now because I have a contract. I think maybe now I'll turn it to the new Eddie as far as having guys over, having upgrading housing and things like that. So I'll be able to host a lot more guys. I think maybe things like that, but that's fun stuff. I don't think that's leadership. That's just building camaraderie.
So in your news conference with the local media this week, you did suggest that maybe you're not as respected by your peers on the offensive side of the ball around the league as you should be or will be moving forward. Can you drill deeper into that for me, what you're trying to say?
I feel like there's always somebody that don't think you are who you are. And I think for me, it's just going out there and proving that. I mean, it's not proving anything different. I know I'm just going to prove to you that I know who I am. And I think a lot of people may not see me as how I see myself, and that's okay. But I know I know by the time the game's over, you'll think the way that I think about myself.
Yeah, see, I look at it as a sign of unbelievable respect. They don't really throw your way too much, right? You know, maybe they'll start testing you a little more. They'll mean more picks.
I hope, yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, if there is an aspect of your game that you work on every year, continuing to take the ball away and shut down the best receivers in the game, they go hand in hand, right?
Yeah, nah, for sure. Yeah. I think for me, the taking the ball away, I think that comes with more so opportunities, comes with getting those targets and certain targets too. So I feel like just learning, I feel like being sticky in coverage is something that I've been able to do for a long time. But I think now finding ways to take the ball away, trying to get creative, trying to really study film a little differently to figure out, it's like, okay, what routes can I jump, or what's the favorite route concepts? And even taking it a step further, it's like, what to be aware of? Because, I mean, you put it out there on film that you're jumping certain routes, it's like, now they're going to give you what you think you were seeing and give you a double move off. And it's like, I've seen that, but it's like, I haven't been beat on a double move because I think about it already. So it's like kind of just playing a little bit of both, playing cat and mouse, but trying to get them to do something, and then also still thinking about how they can counter off what I'm doing. So kind of just expanding my IQ in the game as well.
Last one. Do you feel the surge of this organization right now, of where it's headed?
Yeah, I think for me, it's one of those things. It's like I've been here a while. I think I've been around a long enough time to really be able to see it. But I think now for me, it's one of those things where it's like I wanted to translate on Sunday. Because I feel like I've headed to a few off seasons. Yeah, I've headed to a few seasons after the off seasons. Oh yeah, we got all these guys. We got these guys, and we pull an egg. It's like, man, nah, we can't keep doing that. I think for me, it's one of those things where I want to see that next step being taken. I want to take that next step. I don't want to plan and everybody be excited for the all. I mean, every off season we come into, it's, oh yeah, we're excited. This our year. And it's like, it's not it. So it's like, for me, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want people to keep saying, oh, yeah, well, this is our year. We got to do this. It's like, nah, let's go out here and show it. Like, let's go out here and be who we know we are. And I feel like that's how I live my life. That's how I go about doing my business, is just be who you are. Be who you know you are. And I feel like for us, I don't really want money out there on the table. I don't want us to get off to a slow start. And, oh, well, we weren't healthy, or we weren't at this. We didn't. It's like, nah, we got to go out here and ball. And I think that's the biggest thing that I'm focused on this year, is just going out there and winning. I mean, I haven't won too many games since I've been here, so I think, I mean, the contract, cool, I want to win.
From one JJ to the other. Congrats, buddy.
Appreciate you.
Thank you.
What I pull away from this thing, and we mentioned this, I think, on the Bears Weekly Show, which we'll hear again on Thursday night coming up this week with Jim Miller, is that, yes, you got Kevin Byard back there on the back end, but I'm looking at Jalen Johnson to be the leader of the secondary. He's been here the longest. He's got some pelts on the wall. He had a terrific season last year, his best season as an NFL player. He bet on himself. He cashed in big, and he's thinking big about where he's at. He's still a young player with a secondary. I'm telling you, they will be popping. They will be popping. Kyler Gordon, Tyreek Stevenson, Terrell Smith, Jaquan Brisker, Kevin Byard, Jonathan Nowens, Elijah Hicks. I mean, we got names back there that are growing together, and the influence of that veteran leadership will be significant.
You know, that's one group that can never do it by themselves. So you say all the names of all the defensive backs that are going to come and contribute and be playmakers and ball hawks. Then you think of the second level of the linebacker position here and how much effective they are and how much they complement the defensive backfield. And then you move it one level up and you go to the defensive line and how quickly they can put pressure on the opponent's quarterback that results in those touchdowns. But the thing, or the interceptions. But the thing that I like about Jalen, I think it sends such a positive message to the locker room. You're a home pick guy, which I mean you were drafted by the Bears, and you grow, you mature, you're productive. The Bears are going to reward you with a contract. And I like to see that because I think it creates a lot of incentive in the locker room when you see what Cole Kmet is able to do, now Jalen Johnson, what he's able to do. And you see these types of guys that do everything that the Bears ask them to do, improve and show leadership. You know, this is what everybody looks for in the second contract in anybody's career.
Well, you talk about chemistry in the locker room and that mood in there and culture and all that, and it is set by the players. Yes, it comes down from the coach, how he wants things to be in terms of your character and how you operate every day, how you work, how hard you work, are you first in, last out type of guy, all that stuff, and just being a good teammate, helping your fellow teammate out. But when you get rewarded now, there's a responsibility with that. So the types of contracts that Ryan Poles and Matt Feinstein, the chief negotiator up at Hallis Hall, is they're not like, they're four-year deals with a chance. If you do it well, you got a chance to do it again with the Bears. So we're talking about Cole Kmet. We're talking about Tremaine Edmonds. We're talking about Jalen Johnson. We're talking about Montez Sweat's deal. These are all four-year deals. I know I'm missing a couple, but it's in that wheelhouse for these guys. They stay hungry that way, in my opinion.
You know what's neat about it, too, is when you look at, I think it's Pro Football Focus, the top 101 players in the NFL, you have T.J. Edwards, you have D.J. Moore, and you have Jalen Johnson, I think, at number 30. So when you look at Ryan Poles targeting these free agents, he brings them in, and then they climb to the top of the ladder in respect of their position and all around the NFL. And then you have Jalen Johnson, who had the opportunity to earn another contract with the Bears, and just look at how they're thought of in the land and the NFL and all the players that are out there.
Steinhoffels is an employee-owned furniture and mattress store. Visit any of their four Chicagoland locations in Vernon Hills, Crystal Lake, Downers Grove, and Harwood Heights, or shop online at steinhoffels.com. Jeff and Tom on the Bears Etc. podcast. We're brought to you by Miller Lite. So the Bears did lead the NFL in interceptions over the final 10 weeks, and it kind of tied into the arrival and the uptick on the defensive line with Montez Sweat and how it impacted everybody along the defensive line. All right, one shout out to special teams because a re-signing as well for long snapper Patrick Scales. I think that's his eighth one-year contract. He keeps betting on himself.
I have it written down on my notes, and I think he says that he was a high school All-American tight end as well, so just capitalizing on his overall athleticism. He does a great job. I mean, there's no secret behind it. When you look at how well Cairo's doing, how well the punting game is doing, how efficient that the timing of that game is, the kicking game, Patrick Scales is a huge, huge part of that.
All right, now let's talk about what is still yet to come. And there is still plenty yet to come. So I took a look at this and just penciled in. Let's start with defense. To be determined, okay? Because we always use the QB1 to describe the starting quarterback. I'm going to do the same with all the position groups, Tommy. So you know who the defensive N1 is. It's Montez Sweat. We don't know yet who defensive N2 is. We got defensive N3 at a minimum in DeMarcus Walker still on the roster. Khalid Kareem and Dom Robinson, 4 and 5, 5 and 4, whatever you want. That's your so the need for another edge rusher. There was all sorts of talk about Daniil Hunter landed a whopper with the Houston Texans, and clearly it's where he wanted to go as well. A lot of players are wanting to go to Houston right now. He got a $49 million over 2 years at the age of 29, and God bless him because, you know, he came off a serious injury and managed to put together 16 sacks for the Vikings last year. So yeah, edge rusher, defensive end, that is a big one yet to fill. And it's likely going to come in the draft, I would think.
Well, you know, the thing about it is Matt Eberflus always says he likes playing young guys. So there's some young guys in this draft that have showed some explosiveness in the combine that you're going to have an opportunity to pick them if they're where you need them. But, I like some exploration also. I would like to see a guy like Jervon Dexter be able to use his length and get a couple of rushes from the outside because I think he would be an interesting candidate at that position. And throughout my time when they started playing bigger bodies at the defensive end position, Jervon Dexter has the athleticism. He has the length. He has the arm contact where, hey, if you get a couple of extra reps during the course of preseason, why not try him out there, see what he does? But I also want DeMarcus Walker to stay healthy during training camp because I like his attitude. I like his enthusiasm. I would like to see him getting a chance to develop a nice repertoire with the rest of the defensive linemen that are going to be out there. And you mentioned the other candidates as well, but one guy that would interest me out there would be Jervon Dexter Jr.
So at a minimum, we're talking about 3 technique for Jervon Dexter right now. That is where I have him penciled in at the moment as that position. And then the nose tackle, you know, that's locked up with Andrew Billings and Zach Pickens right now as the roster currently stands. Free safety, we realize that now in terms of Byard, also the addition of Owens. Nickel locked up with Kyler Gordon, who competes for that second spot in there. Jalen Jones still on the roster as well. All right, now to offense, because the linebackers are set as well. Edwards, Sanborn, and Noah Sewell in there. Micah Baskerville is somebody they liked, but, you know, they can always add there too. Offense, though, to be determined. The quarterback position, obviously. If you're fine on the offensive line the way it was constituted at the end of the year, then who will be competing for that swing tackle now? Is it going to be Matt Pryor with Larry Borum? Offensive center, is it going to be Bates or is that still yet to be determined? And then, you got DJ Moore at receiver, and then numbers 2, 3, 4, and 5 to me are all up in the air.
I agree. You would like to see some of the young guys come aboard and maybe upgrade what they started last year. But you're going to have to go out there and you're going to have to find a veteran that brings experience and leadership to complement DJ Moore because you need someone across the field from DJ Moore to keep him a realistic target. And so you don't want to be a team with just one quality wide receiver, you want to have probably three inside your arsenal.
Tyler Scott, Valus Jones, among those young players that Tom's referring to right now. Tight end one, Cole Kmet with Gerald Effort. Steven Carlson still on the roster at tight end. Now, we mentioned the running back position. To me, it's pretty locked up. It's pretty locked up right there with some room for competition as well with those top three in terms of snaps. And it'll be interesting. Obviously, DeAndre Swift has been back by committee until last year in Philadelphia. He had the most carries in his NFL career. Let's see what the plan is for Shane Waldron. And do you have any other thoughts, in particular about the offensive line?
Yeah, I just don't want it so drama-filled. And I think, you know, last year we never really got to be introduced to Nate Davis until the eve of the regular season. And then, you know, that also slows down the process of the development of Darnell Wright, the drafted right tackle. And then we didn't know what the center position was going to be because there was competition going out on there between Cody and Lucas. And then Tevin Jenkins had some injury interruptions during the course of the season, and he pulled his calves at the end of training camp. That was a setback to him. And Braxton Jones missed some time during the course of the season with a neck injury. When you look at the two offensive tackles, you have length, you have athleticism, you have intelligence. To me, if Braxton Jones invests a considerable amount of time in the weight room, and he can go out there and be a guy that can be a more formidable one-on-one pass blocker, maybe you have your two offensive tackles already set, and then it's up to Chris Morgan to figure out how your middle three fit the best. But listen, if Tevin Jenkins could stick a couple years in a row together and to be out there every game, he has an opportunity to be one of the better offensive guards in the division and a highly thought of offensive guard in the league. And I like how Nate Davis plays, but I need Nate Davis to play, and I need him to be more of a leader by excitement, enthusiasm, and example. And if you could get that out of those two offensive guards, you would have a solid offensive line and then figure out how your center position is going to work itself out. And there are draftable guys out there that can come in and be day one starters.
Busy Hard Seltzer. Flavors for every vibe. Celebrate responsibly. Molson Coors Beverage Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Episode 59 of the Bears Etc. podcast. All right, so let's look around the league at what's going on. So when the Patriots dealt Mac Jones to Jacksonville to back up Trevor Lawrence for a sixth-round pick, that was significant, apparently, in the quarterback math and the musical chairs that are going on. Obviously, Kirk Cousins going to Atlanta as well, which opened things up for Minnesota to go and get Sam Darnold. We're not going to go through every quarterback, but it does kind of set the draft board. You kind of know what teams are for sure. Barring trades up or going for quarterbacks, it's likely the top three. And then I'm certain that there's going to be a couple guys that will sneak in the top 10 as well. What has been your analysis? And Baker Mayfield, striking it rich in a $100 million deal. He's got a different outlook on life right now, and things have changed for him significantly. And certainly, Kirk Cousins is taking advantage of every opportunity to earn a maximum amount of dollars in his NFL career.
Well, you think about the money that Baker Mayfield's season made for Mike Evans. And now you got Evans on a two-year deal at $25 million per season, and Baker Mayfield gets his $100 million. I always like Baker. He's a gutsy guy. He goes out there and he gets fully involved in his football team, and you know, he earned that opportunity. Kirk Cousins and Darnell Mooney, you're talking about $220 million between the two. That's a lot of money over their period of time that they're going to be working together as a quarterback, receiver, and the rest of the parts that the Atlanta Falcons have. And now when you invest in a 30-plus-year-old guy coming off an Achilles injury, back during my time, Achilles injuries were almost a career ender. Nowadays, it's miracle science. When you look at what's expected out of Aaron Rodgers and what's expected out of Kirk Cousins, you know, these guys, when you're signed to that type of deal that Atlanta did with Kirk Cousins, you need to be four-year healthy.
When it's
time, can't go out there and have an injury early.
When it's time to tackle some game day deals, then go with a grocer who's been a part of Chicago since 1899, Jewel Osco, the official grocery store of the Chicago Bears. Other notes going back to the Danielle Hunter signing, it's addition by subtraction, in my opinion, for the Bears in the division, because 7.5 sacks, 11 quarterback hits, and a forced fumble, and injured Justin Fields last year in his 7 years against the Bears. He was a terror. So that's addition by subtraction, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, you know, it is. But the Minnesota, what, Grenard, is that the guy
yeah.
that went out and signed?
Good run stopper. So, yep, good run stopper.
Yeah, a run stopper and trying to, you know, put these pieces back in place after you kind of probably, they probably thought or knew they were going to lose Danielle Hunter and didn't want to pay him what he was demanding at that point. And so, you know, Danielle Hunter, when you pay him that amount of money at this type of age, you have to have you know, everything work out perfectly, because there has been some issues with him that he, you know, he missed some games. So you hope perfect case scenario for him that he's healthy for the 2 seasons that he did sign for.
And the Arizona Cardinals investing in both ex-Bear defensive tackles, Tommy, Bilal Nichols and Justin Jones. I'm happy for both of them.
Yeah. You know, good for them. You know, Bilal is really, you know, kind of was an untapped potential when he came to the Bears, was able to increase his playing profile each year that he was here, got a free agent deal, and then, you know, now in Arizona. Congratulations to him. I admire these guys that you really don't know a lot about them when they come from a smaller college program and they're able to develop into a quality football player who ended up getting an interception for a touchdown while he was a member of the Chicago Bear defensive line.
Right, leaves the Raiders, and we'll be facing the Cardinals in Arizona this year, and we'll be facing the Texans in Houston, so we're not quite rid of Danielle Hunter just yet. So I just had to do a quick gander, like, okay, what are we dealing with here on the schedule?
I'll put my money on Darnell Wright year 2.
There you go, there you go. I like the way you're thinking there. Also, in terms of like a perfect fit in free agency, if you're closing your eyes right now, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, a perfect fit, doesn't matter what team, in free agency, and one just stuck out to me like a sore thumb. It's a perfect fit. Do you know who it is? Derrick Henry in Baltimore, a team that ran it 6 times in the AFC Championship game when they built their, you know, they're a running football team, and they want to come downhill and smash you in the mouth. Derrick Henry leaving Tennessee for Baltimore. That's one.
You know, now these guys, they tape themselves working out in the weight room. And you know me, Jeff, in the weight room. I don't want a guy that needs to be introduced to the weight room. But when you look at some of those YouTube videos of Derrick Henry working out, the dude is legit. And he's the type of guy that can carry that entire backfield in Baltimore when you have a quarterback as dynamic as Lamar Jackson. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. And so, yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry I think led the league or one of the top two in rushing for out of the last 5 years. And now he goes to a team like Baltimore and see what happens with them.
Yep, and a lot to happen yet in this offseason. We're a long way from the draft, although I think we're under 50 days now. More decisions to be made up at Hallis Hall. And we'll hear from some of these new additions later in the week. Bears Weekly on Thursday night at 6:30 on ESPN 1000 and the Bears Radio Network. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Miller Lite, because it tastes like Miller time. Go to MillerLite.com/BearsPod to find delivery options near you. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. For Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe now to the Bears official app, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Tom, do the honors.
Bear down. But I was dedicating the number of the podcast. I was going to dedicate that one to Ron Rivera, number 59.
You got it. That'll do it for us. Thanks for listening.